Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we have been studying Philippians chapter 1 and the Apostle Paul's powerful perspective here about life and death, where he says, "For to me to live is Christ, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And then he goes on to say in verse 21 that he cannot choose between the two. Verse 23, "I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So I'm hard pressed. My mind is pressed from each reality, what I would choose hypothetically if I had the choice, living or dying." This was Paul's perspective. And ultimately, he says, far greater was death. Because for Paul, death means heaven. Death means being with the one he loves, being face-to-face with Christ, with no more sin, to enter consciously into Christ's presence and gain everything in life that you've been waiting for. Death is the entrance into eternal life. So that's the apostle's message. If it were about me, my choice would be death. But he says, I know that if I live on in the flesh, it will mean fruit from my labor. How so? He says in verse 24, "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." Wow. He says, "For me to continue living, I know that Christ will be magnified in my body and that it will work out to be a benefit for your soul." So Paul looks at life and he says, yes, death would be far better to my own advantage. I'll gain the fullness of everything I'm living for. But to continue here, I know that my life will be far more to your advantage. I wish we would all think like this. Peter, I cited yesterday, says this, "For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." What's the point? I'm living in complete surrender, not trying to control my life, but willing even to accept wrong, because I know that that particular circumstance is designed for me to let others see Christ in me. Someone desperately trying to control their own life will certainly not take hardships patiently. One of the themes in Philippians is being a servant, is becoming a slave. Paul is motivating us to that. In chapter 2, he will, by setting forth the example of Christ. And he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Okay, there's a certain mindset, there's a certain perspective, there's a certain outlook that has to be about your life, and you know what that looks like because you see it in Christ Jesus. He's the paradigm man. In other words, what did he do? He became a slave. He left his throne and glory above with the Father that he had, and he came to this earth, and he took on our flesh, and he went all the way to the cross, suffering for us. Can you think about the amazing truth of that? Jesus Christ, true God and true man, became one of us and became a slave of all. Now, this, I believe, is what the Apostle Paul is describing here of what it means to live is Christ. If we follow the Master, that means our whole lives then become the kind of servants, the kind of servanthood that Jesus Christ showed. And so, servanthood, become something that's not given to feed the self, but something to magnify Christ with the goal or purpose of serving and make being a sacrifice upon the sacrifice and service of each other's faith. Now, this in the life of the church is a hard thing, because for many, if the conditions of our service are tampered with, we fall apart. If we're inconvenienced in our service a bit, because it's not on our terms, we're miserable. Being a servant, listen, is something that requires sacrifice. It costs you. And if there's no joy in that, you're not serving yourself, but Christ. You're not serving Christ, but yourself. Paul sees this in everything. Paul sees the holistic outlook on life. My giving, my attitude to circumstances. Can you imagine, dear listener, if the Christian lived actually believing fully the sovereignty of God, that everything that happens in life, that may be a constant source of grief or maybe a trial or affliction, is designed for you to let Christ be magnified in you. That is a perspective we need to have. You know, that was the very perspective of the Apostle Paul. He had to learn this, of course. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we read, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations." In other words, unless I should think highly because I've been given so much, "a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. The power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Did you hear that? Paul thought he would be strong if the suffering, if the thorn in the flesh, which we're not told what it was, I'm glad, was taken away. And he begs the Lord 3 times in prayer. And the Lord says, "My grace is sufficient, Paul. You're going to keep that thorn. And in your weakness, as you depend upon me, you're going to be strong." Paul sees that in every aspect of life. And that has a bearing for how he looks at life. This is why Paul says in Philippians, "I can't decide between the two." He means this: death is far better, but if I had a choice, I would choose to go on through my life, which is a continual magnification of Christ in me to others, for the goal that you would receive progress and joy of faith. He's going to say, I'd gladly give my life, pour it out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith. That's why I exist. It's not about me. It's about you. We need to remember this too about our loved ones who've died in the Lord. You know, they've gained everything they've lived for. Some sulk over the death of a loved one for years, forgetting that the reason they're still here is to show others, show the living, what it means to live for Christ. So that when they die and gain what they have lived for, that example might be left to those who are living. This is why he says in verse 25, "And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." You know, generally we know about people, their reputations, you know about them before the person's even in front of you. It's sad that when so-and-so is mentioned, we know whether they're miserable people or really spirit-filled people. What of you? Could someone say when they think of your name that that person lives for the progress and joy that I would increase in faith? The question is greater. How do you receive the kind of perspective about life that says and really means it, to die is gain? How do you receive that? Dear listener, you must really begin to know what it means to live is Christ. And I've been describing that. See, the Bible never, in the Bible, death is never treated as sort of this great gain over a life of misery. For the Christian, not for the unbeliever, I'm talking about for the Christian. Death is never held out for the Christian as just this gain over trial. It's portrayed as the gaining of something you're already enjoying. It's a perfection and excelling of the realization of what you already have right now in Christ. And if that's the case, then we can see why trial and pain in this life becomes for us a little sort of mini mission handed by Christ as an opportunity to magnify Him in our bodies. Because Christ in us is designing these things for the end that He would be glorified and that that would be seen in the joy and progress of the faith of others as they see Christ in you. One pastor said it this way, life and death look to us like two evils of which we know not which is the less. As for the apostle, they look to him like two immense blessings of which he knows not which is the better. On either side of the veil, Jesus Christ is all things to him. Wow, what a perspective, huh? Such a belief in Christ and such an understanding of the gospel produces in us this kind of perspective in life and in death. How do we do this? We all need to take a close look and ask, in every situation of life, are we content in Christ? Too often we treat circumstances as painful barriers in our life to really enjoy our fellowship with the Lord. We think that we're going to finally enjoy Him or really move forward after we get through our trial. You know, that's not true. The Lord always wanted people not to run around trials or get beyond them, but to see His power in them. You are recipients, if you're a Christian today, of a glorious salvation. A non-believer, if you're a non-believer, can't know this kind of perspective in life. He runs through life in misery and sorrow and has no hope in life and in death. But if the Christian has truly believed what Christ has done, it should fill his heart with joy. Christ went to the cross. He laid down his life. He gave himself so that we might have life to the fullest. Think about all the saints today, believers, who've died in the Lord. They've obtained what their lives were lived for, the ultimate gaining of Jesus Christ. But if we're still here today, then God has you here because your life is needful for the progress and joy of someone else. Who is it? And let me ask this, of whom may we be hindering in that progress and joy because our lives show no demonstration of what it means to live is Christ? As those who are citizens of another world, let us begin to live like it, living with the fullness of joy. You see, when we live with this passion and this perspective, life doesn't become an endless pursuit of discontentment and trying to find happiness. But instead, every aspect of life, to the finest detail of life, becomes this grand opportunity to magnify Jesus within me. And guess what happens when I think of death? I get live with the perspective that death will become the glorious gaining of the best that I have already received as I have lived loving and knowing Jesus Christ. May that, dear radio listener, be true of you too. Founding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in London. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you a sincere invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Days. LyndonURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.